Today's shir is Masechta Kedushin, Daf Mem Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, the last words of the Amud, Amar Rava. We had learnt in the previous shir, based on what we had learnt in the Mishnah, that if someone says to a woman that he's been Mekadosh for her, bazoo, with a group of tamarim, with a group of dates, the way Rav Ami had helped us understand the last words of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had used the words Haisa Chelos Rishayna Rishayna Enu Mekadeshes At Shehei Ba'achs Mehen Shava Pruta, that the situation was where she was eating up a tamara as she was receiving it. There the halacha Rav Ami explained the Mishnah to teach us was that the tamarim that she had already eaten were considered a milva, and as we learned and will learn a mitzvah shem hamekadosh b'milva ainu mekudeshes, and therefore if the last tamara is worth a pruta, then she's mekudeshes, if not ainu mekudeshes. Comments on this rava, Amar Rava, when do we say this thing? Lo shanu the Amar bazu, when he had been Mekadishar, they're using the words bazu. Aval amala be'ela. If he says, I'm being Mekadish you be'elu with these tamarim, afila chelas, namim kadeshes. Even if she's eating of tamarim, we do not consider this a situation of Mekadish memova, because we say that this is the way most Rishonim explain. We say that the Kedushin is effective the moment he says Harei at mekudeshes be'elu, and now when she's eating the tamarim ki ka'ochla, but the nafsha ka'ochla, she's eating her own tamarim, she's not eating up a milva. That is the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. So explain the Mefarshim based on this explanation, there would be a very fundamental nafkamina besides this din that we're learning in our Gemara of Ami's din, that when he said bazu, that the halach is we have to see if the last tamara is still there and it's worth a proof that then there'll be kedushin, otherwise there wouldn't be a kedushin. Versus this case, says the Gemara, where he said kadosh lo be'elu, that there the halach is that the kedushin, we can look at all the tamarim and combine them together to affect a pruta, that they should be worth a pruta, and we should have a valid kedushin. Another nafkamina would be, what would happen if somebody else was mekadish this woman prior to her eating up, in the middle, before she ate up all the tamarim? According, in Rava's case, where he said Haret Mekadeshes Li Be'elu, the halach is that the Kedushin is valid immediately. And since the Kedushin is valid immediately, were somebody to come and be Mekadesh afterwards, it would not be a valid Kedushin. She's already an Eishes Ish. Whereas the case of our Mishnah, as Rav Ami explains it, the Kedushin is not a Kedushin until she receives the last tamara and it's worth a pruta. And therefore, somebody's Mekadosh her prior to her receiving that last tamara, and him, then she's still not an Eishes Ish, and the other Kedushin could be effective. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi de Rava. This din that Rava just taught us, that there's a difference if you say bazu, versus if you say be'elu, could be corroborated from what was learned in a Braisa. It says in the Braisa, if somebody tells a woman, become kadosh to me ba'olam, is some sort of a fruit that's called an acorn, it's typically a maichel behema, something that animals eat, riman is a pomegranate, eggers is a nut. Or if he said to be becomes kadosh to me with these, the halacha is, yesh b'kulan shava pruta, we could combine the value of all of these fruits, and if they together have a value of a pruta, then the halacha is mekadeshes. Mimlav, if not, ain't mekadeshes, then she's not mekadeshes. bazoo, bazoo, bazoo. However, if he said bazoo, 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 then halach is, im yesh bekulon shavapruta mekudeshes, if there's a shavapruta between all of them, then she's mekudeshes, memlav ena mekudeshes. The Rashi points out that even though in both of these dinim, the halach is the same, that we can combine the value of all of them. Why did the Tana divide it into two groups? So as says Rashi, as we're going to see later in this piece of Gemara, that in the case of Bazu Bazu, the halacha is the same whether she eating them or she leaves them, and therefore the Tana identify this as a separate case. The last case of the Braisa, Bazu, if he said Bazu, she took not l'sov achlosoy, she takes it and eats it. Bazu not l'sov achlosoy, voy bazu, voy bazu. And the same goes with every item. He says it, and she takes it and eats it. Ain't a mekudeshes, she's not mekudeshes, since he made separate statements. At sheyeh b'achsman shavapruta, until there's a shavapruta, since he separated the statements. Ask the Gemara. Hi, ba'alam barimas ba'egas achidami. What is the case of ba'alam barimas ba'egas? Ilema, if we're going to explain that's referring to a case, we said, oi ba'alam, oi bariman, oi ba'egas. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case where he said with an alam, or with a riman, or with an egas, so what is the Braisa saying, yesh b'kulun shavapruta mekudeshes, that we could combine the value of all of these items v'hoikomer by saying oi between each one of these items, he's separating them, and they should have to be only worth, each one should have to be worth a pruta for us to have a valid kedushin velo. And must be referring to a case we said be'alon uber rimon uber egos. Ask the Gemara if that's what the Braisa means. Haina bazoo bazoo bazoo. Isn't that the situation of bazoo bazoo bazoo, which the Braisa already mentions explicitly? So why does the Braisa both have to speak about a case of Ba'alam Bariman of Ba'egois and also about a case of bazoo bazoo bazoo? Answers the Gemara, El Alav, it must be that the case is referring to a case we said Be'elu. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that's referring to a case where he said Be'elu? Hamidat Tani Sefer, the Braisa speaks explicitly about such a case. Osha Amala Hiskachli Be'elu. So, if the case of the Reisha is referring to a case where he said Be'elu, why does the Braisa have to repeat the din in such a case? Mechlal, must be the, by elimination, the Reisha La Be'elu Kum Meskinen. The Braisa is not talking about a case of Eila. Answers the Gemara, Purusha Kum Mefarish. The way to understand the Braisa is that the second part of the Braisa is just explaining the first part. Hiskachli be'elam be'imun abregois. Ketzat. What does that mean? Kigoyin da amalai hiskachli be'elu. It's referring to a case where he said hiskachli be'elu, and since he said it in such a way, that's why the halach is that we could combine all the different items. Viktani Sefer. What does it say in the Sefer of this Braisa? Bazu not l'sov v'achosa. If she said this, if he took, said this item, and she ate it, there halach is, im yesh b'achman shavapruta mekudeshes, v'mlav, and mekudeshes. We have to look at each item separately. V'ilu reisha, but in the case where he said be'elu, lo'ikam ha'fagrinin, ben o'chalos l'manachas. It doesn't make a difference if she eats them, or she sets them aside. That obviously it teaches us that the halacha would be the same whether achelus or menachas. Shema mina, what do we see from here? Kol ha'icha da'amale be'elu, wherever the word be'elu is used, ki ka'achla, menashe ka'achla, once, as we said at the beginning of our shiur, if he says hiskachli be'elu, the kedushin becomes valid the moment the husband says hiskachli be'elu. So after, when she's eating it, she's eating her own items, and that's why we don't make the distinction, says Rava, that we made in the Mishnah. Shema Mina. The Rashba points out that we could have proven the point that Rava makes, that if the word be'elu is used, then the kedushin is always valid, and we don't begin to analyze the value of the items just from the explicit case of the Mishnah, of the Braisa, that says that by be'elu we combine all of the pieces. Why did the Gemara have to go in this sort of roundabout way of explaining the Braisa, that the first case is referring to be'elu, and therefore, after we establish the first case is speaking about be'elu, we understand that Rav is correct. We understand that Rav is correct, even from the, explicitly, from the second case of the Braisa. Answers the Rajba. If we had not established that the case of Olam Berimoin, or Be'egois, is referring to a case of be'elu, we could not prove from this Braisa that Rav is correct. Because then we would have said that there's a difference between, as the Gemara wants to suggest, there's a difference between Oicheles or Menachas. And perhaps only by Menachas will we combine all of the different items. But if she eats them up, we can't combine. But now that we established that both the Reisha and the Sefer, the Reisha and the second case are talking about a case of Be'elu, and the Braisa just, and the Gemara just finished proving that the Braisa is teaching us that there is no difference between Oicheles or Menachas, it must be that Rav is correct, that when the word Be'elu is used, then we always, under all circumstances, whether she's eating up the items or she's leaving the items, they could all combine to affect a valid Kedusha. In the previous shiur, we had a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel and Rav Ami. The machloik between Rav and Shmuel and Rav Ami was how to explain the last line of the Mishnah, which we quoted earlier. The Mishnah, again in the last line, says, "Hoysa chels rishona rishona, ena mekadeshes ad she'ba'ach mem shavapruta." Rav and Shmuel explained that this last line was going back to the first case of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah discussed a situation where he separated his statements, and the last din of the Mishnah teaches us that since he separated his statements to the woman, each tomorrow has to be viewed, each statement is separate, and each tomorrow is viewed statement separately, and therefore the Mishnah teaches us that if there is a tomorrow that's worth a pruta, we have a kedushin. Otherwise, we don't have the kedushin. And the Mishnah was teaching us, as we learned in the previous year, that we would think perhaps, since she was eating the tamarim, mikarev hanayasa, so she showed that she's having pleasure from the tamarim, so therefore that would be considered as worth a pruta. Still teaches us the Mishnah that even, according to Rav and Shmuel, that even in a situation where she's eating the tamarim have to be worth a pruta to have a valid kedushin. Rav Ami disagreed. Rav Ami said that the Mishnah was teaching us that if he said such, it's going on the second case, where he said the words, Eskachli bazu, bazu, bazu. And there, if she had not eaten the tamarim, the halacha is that the tamarim can combine to be worth, to the value of a pruta, to have an effective kedusha. However, if she said, if she was eating the tamarim as she was receiving them, so the tamarim that she already ate before he completed his statement of creating a kedushin are now a milva. She just owes him the value of his tamarim that he ate. And as we learned, Daloch is a mekadesh memilva, ainu mekadeshes. And Rav Ami said that the last words of the Mishnah teach us that in such a case, if the last tamar she has is worth a tamar, is worth a pruta, then we will have a kedushin. Otherwise, we won't have a kedushin. The reason, explained the Rishonim, Rav and Shmuel do not agree to Rav Ami's explanation of the Mishnah, because Rav and Shmuel argue that the Mishnah shouldn't have said Miyesh ba'achas men shavapruta. Rather, what the Mishnah should have said, according to Rav Ami's explanation, Miyesh ba'achroino, if in the last tomorrow that's left is a shavapruta, then mekudeshas, and if not, not. The fact that the Mishnah said ba'achas tells them that Rav Ami's explanation is incorrect. Says the Gemara, Hanich lemand amas sefekai. Now that we've learned this braisa, according to Rav Ami, who says that the last statement of the Bright Mishnah was referring to the previous second case of the Mishnah, and it's as if it said, and what was the Mishnah teaching us when it said this statement? That in such a case, if the last tomorrow is worth a pruta, then there's a kedusha, if not, so too will he explain when the Braisa says, in the last case of the Braisa, he'll explain it the exact same way. Hachinami, he will explain the Braisa as he explained the Mishnah, Atshe Bachroni Shavapruta. However, ask the Gemara, Ela Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayu, according to the explanation of Rav and Shmuel, that's going a Reisha, that the last statement of the Mishnah is referring back to the first case of the Mishnah, where he made separate statements. And the Braisa is teaching us, and the Mishnah was teaching us, as we said a moment ago, that not only when she put the Tamarim aside do we have to view and look at each Tamara, at each date separately, but even when she ate a Tamar, still, only if the Tamar is worth a Pruta, will we have a Kedushin, otherwise we will not have a Kedushin. Hacha, but in the Braisa, and that's because the entire basis of Rav and Shmuel's situation was because he made separate statements. Hiskachli b'tomorrow zu, hiskachli b'tomorrow zu. Hacha, but in the case of the Braisa, the Tana is only referring to situations of klolik achashiv, pratilok achashiv. He's only speaking about cases where he combined all of the statement. So if that's the case, the din, the wording at the end of the Braisa, which is similar to the wording at the end of the Mishnah, how could it be interpreted the way Rav and Shmuel interpreted it in the Mishnah? In the Mishnah, Rav and Shmuel could have offered their explanation, because the Mishnah does speak about a case where the man made separate statements. But the Braisa doesn't speak about such a situation. So how will Rav and Shmuel explain the words of the Mishnah that you have to have the words of the Braisa, and Yesh Ba'achman Shavapruta, what is the case that the Braisa is referring to? Says the Gemara, Hamani, who is the Tan of the Braisa? Answered the Gemara, Rebbe he. Dama loishno kazayis for kazayis, loishno kazayis kazayis, loishno kazayis kazayis, protehava, it's always considered separate statements. And we have to explain what the Gemara says. We know, as the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Zvachim, there's a concept called pigel, and there's a concept called posel. Pigel means that when someone offers a carbon, sacrifices a carbon, he has a machshavas chutz lezmanoi. For example, carbon shlomim, the Torah teaches us, can be eaten l'shnei yomim v'layla echot, for 2 days and one night. And this person, when he brings the carbon, brings it with the intention to eat it after the time it may be eaten. Such a carbon becomes pigel. If one eats such a carbon, rachman shlon his chayiv karis. Then there's a concept known as posel. Posel means that when he brought the carbon, he intended to eat it chutz l'mekaymai, outside the place where the Torah allows us the carbon to be eaten. A carbon that's posel is not as stringent as a carbon that's pigel. There is no chiyuv karis. For a carbon to be pigel, the halacha is the only disqualification this carbon is allowed to have is that it's pigel. If it has any other disqualification, it can no longer be considered pigel. The Gemara Masechta Zvachim discusses a situation where somebody had both a machsheves pigel and a machsheves posel. He had both machsheves. Can that carbon become pigel or not? The Chachamim are of the opinion in such a, the Chachamim are of the opinion in such a situation that since he had both thoughts, and one of the thoughts was posel, and he had both thoughts, the two thoughts combined, so it is in a situation where the carbon is completely pigel, and this carbon will not be pigel. Rebbe disagrees. Rebbe says that even if he had both machshavas, we look at which machshava he had first. If he had the machshavas pigel first, the carbon becomes pigel. If he had the machshavas posel first, the carbon becomes posel, even if he had in mind kezayis ukezayis with that connecting vav. Because Rebbe says that even if I try to combine the machshavas, or the saying would be, even if I try to combine the statements, each statement and each machshava has to be viewed separately. So now we can understand the last case of the Braisa. The last case of the Braisa, he did combine bezu or bezu or bezu. But according to the opinion of Rebbe, even if one combines machshavas, they're not considered one package. We look at each one, each machshava, and certainly each statement separately. And therefore, it's the same as the first din of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah taught us at the beginning of the Mishnah that when one makes separate statements, each tamar is viewed separately, and therefore for Kedushin to be valid, we have to have a tamar which is Shava Pruta. And that is what Rav and Shmuel say is the explanation of the end of the Braisa. That even though he had a machshava, even though he expressed the Kedushin, bezu, 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 we look at each bezu separately, and therefore each tamar is viewed separately, following the opinion of Rebbe and Masechet Zvachim, and if there is no Shava Pruta in any tamar, we will not have a valid Kedushin. Obviously, by following this explanation of the Braisa, we have to say that this Braisa doesn't represent, in all of the cases mentioned in the Braisa, the opinion of one Tana. Because the first cases of the Braisa will reflect the opinion of the Chachamim, that when somebody said the Elu, or somebody said Bezu, 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 all of the statements do combine. And the last case of the Braisa, according to Rav and Shmuel, will have to reflect the opinion of Rebbe, where even if he said Bezu, 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 they are to be viewed as separate statements. Now our Gemara begins the Sugya of Mekadesh B'Milva. Actually, we have already learned the din of Mekadesh B'Milva earlier in our Masechta on Davov on the base, that the halach is HaMekadesh B'Milva Einu Mekadeshes. And the reason HaMekadesh B'Milva Einu Mekadeshes is, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, is that for Kedushin to be effective, the husband has to give the wife something tangible, and a milva is something which is, if the case is, just to explain the case clearly, that let's say he tells the wife, a woman owes a man something, and the man tells the wife, you don't have to pay me back. That should be the Kedushin. That's considered that he didn't give her anything tangible, and Mekadesh B'Milva Einu Mekadeshes. Just to review, we did learn at the beginning of the Masechta, the Mekadesh B'Mechilas Milva. That means Behanos Mechilas Milva. That there's a value that a woman would pay, or any loiva would pay, to have his debt cancelled. That is already a tangible value, and that the Gemara taught us would actually be an effective way of creating a Kedushin. Interesting Shaila that I saw that the Paiskim discuss. The same question comes up regarding Shalach Manas. Let's say somebody owes me something, and I want to be Mekayim Mitzvah Shalach Manas, so I tell the person, you know what, you don't have to give me back what you owe me. Is that considered Shalach Manas? And the Paiskim say that since the entire purpose of Shalach Manas is that one person should give another person actual tangible gifts, just being by saying that, it would not be valuable, it would not be considered Shalach Manas. And in fact, the Paiskim suggest that even though we said a moment ago that regarding Kedushin, Noas Mechilas Milva is considered a valid Kedushin, by Shalach Manas, Hanos Mechila would not even be a valid Shalach Manas, because the purpose is to actually give. In fact, the Pesach can go on to suggest that there would be a nafkamina and a halacha between Shalach Manas and Matanis Lavyoinim. That by Shalach Manas, where the purpose is that one person give the other person something tangible, so it would not be a valid way of giving Shalach Manas. However, Matanis Lavyoinim, the purpose is that we should see that the Oni should receive tzedakah. There, perhaps, the halacha would be that if Oni owes me money, and I go to the Oni on Purim, and I tell him I'm forgiving the debt, the halacha would be that it would be a valid way to be Mekayim Mitzvahs, Matanis Lavyoinim. In fact, the Sefer Maskil David uses the concept that we're learning now about a Mekadesh B'Milva, Einu Mekadeshes, to explain a very difficult pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says that Yaakov says to Lavan after he works the 7 years, Havas ishti kimala yomai vava eleho. So Rashi says, kimala yomai, I'm 84 years old and I need to bring 12 shvatim in the world. Vava eleho. The question is, asks Rashi, v'lai kalsh v'kalim eino oimakein. People don't speak in this inappropriate manner. Should I have relations with my wife? So Rashi says his kavana, his intention was to have children. Ask the Sefer Maskil of David, that still doesn't answer the question that Rashi posed. Is this the way to speak? Answers the Maskil of David. Yaakov Avinu had no money to be Mekadosh Rachel with. As we know, Eliphaz took all of Yaakov Avinu's money. The only way he could be Mekadosh Har would be Mekadosh Har with Milva. But we know the halacha is that a Mekadosh B'Milva ain't a Mekadoshes. So Lavan, says the Maskil of David, knew that Yaakov Avinu will never be able to make Kedushin with his wife Rachel or Leah, because he has no way of affecting Kedushin. So said Yaakov, I still have a way of affecting Kedushin. I could do Kedusha Bia. For Kedusha Bia, I don't have to have any money. Says the Gemara, Amarav, Hamakadosh B'Milva, Enim Kedushas. Why is Hamakadosh B'Milva Enim Kedushas? Because Milva Loitzah Nitna. When somebody borrows money, he could spend the money any way he wants. And since he could spend the money any way he wants, so there's nothing tangible left over here. Says the Gemara, Neim Ketanoi, should we perhaps suggest that this din of Mekadosh B'Milva is actually the subject of a Machloikis Tanoim? Because the Braisa says, HaMekadosh B'Milva Enim Mekadoshes, V'yayish Amrim Mekadoshes. My love, should we say Balkamifki? The mass of a milvaloit saw nitna, or mass of a milvaloit lavaloit saw nitna. The mandamid that holds that you can be Makadish with a milva, because he holds milva lavaloit saw nitna. The mandamid that says that not, because he holds milvaloit saw nitna. So, as the Rishonim explain, everybody, the Taisus Rid explains, that if the loiva, or here in this case the woman, doesn't actually have the item, everybody will agree that you can't be Mekadosh when she doesn't even have the item. The question is, if she does have the item, what is the basis of the question? So the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, this way Rashi explains, is as follows. If I lend money to someone, what can the person do with that money? The man that holds Mivaloit Sod Nitna holds that the person can do anything they want with that money. So I have nothing that I could say is mine. On the other hand, the man that holds Milva Lavloit Tzad Nitna says that when I lend money to someone, the only thing the borrower could do with that money is use it to invest it in an iska, use it to invest in a business in which I have equity. And now when I give up my equity in the iska that was bought with that money, the halach is that I'm actually giving something to the loiva, or in this case to the wife. That's what most Rishonim explain. The Tosfos Riyah Zaken explains that the nafkamina is like this. If the loiva still has the money, so the halacha is that I, the malva, can at any time cash in that, request the money back. That's the opinion of the man d'amma malva lavloi tzonitna. So when I'm being mekadosher, I'm being mekadosher with something that I could have gotten back. On the other hand, the man d'amma holds mivloi tzonitna is once I lend the money, it's the borrower's and I can never ask for it back. So I don't have anything tangible. Tisbra asked the Gemara, is this an acceptable way of explaining this machloikis? Let's continue learning the Braisa. Eima Sefer, it says, and the Braisa, v'shabim b'mecher shezakana. Everybody, even though there's a machloikis regarding Kedushin, regarding a sale, everybody agrees it would be effective. That means, if somebody wanted to buy land from someone who borrowed money from him, so instead of giving money to effect the purchase, the lender says that he will allow the borrower to keep the money of the loan, and the borrower agrees to this, and everybody agrees that this is an effective way of having a sale. Ask the Gemara, Amrit, and if we're going to suggest that there's a Tana that holds in this very Brisa, the Mevelet Zonetna, why would this be a valid way of making a Mecher? But my Connie, there is nothing tangible with which to do the Mechira. Omar Rav Nachman, Huna Chavrin, Mukim Lebe Milachri. So our friend, our colleague Chilu, Huna, explained the Brisa totally different. V'ochem Maiskinen, the case of the Braisa, he says, is referring to such a to the case Kugansh Amois Gatchloi Bimana, where he said to her, "Be become Kudish to me with a mana," and he gave her a mana, the nimtza mana chasa dinner. But when she started counting the mana, a mana is 100 silver dinner, she only found 99 dinner. Masover Sifla Milsla Mitfi. And as Tosfos explains, everybody agrees that the case is that he agrees that the dinner that he owes her, that he shortchanged her, is a milva to her, that he owes it to her. So Masov, the Tana that holds it's not a valid kedushin, says ksifla milsa lemitvah. She's embarrassed to ask from her husband for that extra dinner, and therefore she never accepted the kedushin. Masov like ksifla milsa lemitvah, she's not embarrassed, and that's why we have a valid kedushin. The sefer Tivak kedushin makes a number of observations. He says that what will be the din in a case where it's not the woman who's accepting the kedushin, it's her father, in the case that we've been discussing in our sugyas, who's accepting the kedushin on her behalf. There he suggests the father is certainly not embarrassed to ask the chassan for the money that he truly deserves, and everybody would agree it's a valid kedushin. Another case that the Sfarim discuss is where he owes the woman other money anyway. So perhaps since he owes her money for other debts, she should not be embarrassed to ask for even this one dinner, because he owes her money anyway, so she's going to roll it up in one the request. Ask the Gemara, how can we follow such an interpretation? If somebody says to a woman, become Kodesh to me with a mana, 100 dinner, but not one dinner, and he only gave her one dinner, there it's considered a valid kedushin. For Yashlam, he should pay up the rest. Should we suggest that if Leza said his din based on a machlokes tanaim? Amri, says the Gemara, there's a very fundamental difference. Mana chasa dinner, in a case where he said that they said, "I'm giving you 100 silver coins," and he gave her 99. There, ksifla milsul mitzvah. We could suggest that she's embarrassed to ask for what she's owed. However, mana chasul tisha matisha, when he gave her one, and he owes her 99, everybody agrees, like ksifla milsul mitzvah, she's not going to be embarrassed to ask for what's owed to her. May say, so Gemara now will continue for the next Amid, or more actually, to discuss this thing that Rav says of a Mekadosh B'milva and a Mekadoshes, is this something that everybody agrees to? Says the Gemara, Meisvei, Ha'im Elish, if somebody says to a woman, Hiskadosh L'Bekadosh Yesh L'Biyotcha, become a Kodesh to me with a mana that you have, which I left by you. V'olchan, and she went, a matzah shenigna v'avad, that it was missing or stolen. If there's still a Shava Pruta, Mekadeshes, Vimlav, and Mekadeshes. And the Mefarshim speak about this Gemara, a number of very important issues. One they point out is that when we say Shenignavash Avad, we have to have Edim that it was stolen or lost. Because otherwise, says the Sefer Chedush HaRim, we have to be concerned that she's just saying that it was Nignava Avad because she's regretting that she accepted the Kedushin. The Sefer HaMakna discusses what's the din if we have a Suffolk when this Pekadon was stolen. If we have a Suffolk, was it stolen prior to the Kedushin and then we don't have a Kedushin here, or was it stolen afterwards? So the Makna says that under such circumstances she would not be Mekadeshes. Because since she has a Cheskes Pnuya, that she's an unmarried woman, we leave that on the Chazaka that she was, that she is, remains unmarried. Even though he points out that she, we also had a chazaka that she had the Bekadon in her possession. However, he points out that that chazaka has a reisa, because we see that the Bekadon is no longer there. The Rishonim discuss that the Braisa says that if Nishtarim and a Shava Pruta, as long as there's a Shava Pruta left over, we have a Kedushin. So Rishonim discuss, she was assuming that the entire Bekadon would be what would affect the Kedushin. And here, she only has a Pruta, a small part of it. Why would it be valid? She was, being Samech Das, she was relying on the entire Bekadon. So the Rashba quotes to Yushami that, indeed, if he would have said to the wife, there's been Mekadoshar with the entire Bekadon, the Kedusha would only be valid if the entire Bekadon were to be intact. He says that the case of Al Gemara is where the man did not stress that he's performing the Kedushin with the entire Bekadon. He just said with the Bekadon. And therefore it assumes that what we assume he meant is that whatever portion of the Bekadon is remaining, it should be a valid Kedushin. The Rosh disagrees, that he says that even if he didn't say that he means the entire Bekadon, it's obvious that's what he meant. He says that Al Gemara is referring to a case where the woman was never aware what the value of the Bekadon was. The man left the Bekadon with the woman. She never looked at what was in the box, and therefore she's not Samech Das, she's not relying on the entire Bekadon. The Bach makes a distinction between a case where a woman has a chrayus for the loss of the Bekadon, or where she doesn't have a chrayus for the loss of the Bekadon, whether she's a shemachinam or she's a shemesach or a shayel. In a case where a woman is liable to pay for the loss of the Bekadon, then the kedushin is valid regardless whether or not she anticipated the entire Bekadon. Because when the husband is being Mekadosh with the Bekadon, he's waiving the responsibility. So any waiving of responsibility affects the Kedushin. In a case where she wasn't responsible in the first place, there the entire Bekadon, suggests the Bach, would have to be there for to be a valid Kedushin. Continues the Braisa. However, b'milva, abishlo nishtayim min shava pruta, even if there isn't a shava pruta left, the loch is Mekadoshes. Milva, in the case of a milva, has the same din as a bekadim. Says the Gemara in analyzing the Braisa. Atkan lo pligi, the machlokes between the Tanoim is the masover. Milva afgad lo yishtayim min shav pruta. Milva could be done even if there is no pruta left. Or masover nishtayim min shav pruta in. Only if there's a shav pruta left will we have a kedushin by the milva. Iloi nishtayim min shav pruta loy. However, everybody seems to be agreeing at the kulam. Everybody is agreeing that mekadosh b'milva mekadoshes, which is difficult with Rav. And as the Rishonim explained, and this is a vart that we need to bear in mind for all the upcoming Gemaras, that the truth is the Rav could have said that he's maybe not following the Tanoim that hold mekadosh b'milva and mekadoshes. What the Gemara is going to try to establish is that every Tana and every Braisa agrees to the concept of Mekadosh B'Milva Einu Mekadoshes, and therefore, and the Rav is consistent with every opinion. Amar Rava, says Rava, V'tizbar HaMetaretzta, can you say that this Braisa is a correct Braisa? HaMishtabeshtahi, there's obviously a flaw, a mistake in this Braisa. Because let's understand the Braisa, says Rava. Hai Bekadon Heichidami. What is the case that of the Bekadon? Either Kibbalah or Chrayis, if she accepted responsibility for the loss or theft of the Bekadon, Haina Melva, isn't that the case of a Milva? So why would he treat this case differently than the next case of a Milva? If either like Kibbalah or Chrayis, that the woman didn't accept responsibility, Ihachi,
So why did the Brayis add a Tani Sefer? Ubimilva, Abishlein Shtayim Menashar Pruta Mikadeshes. Why did the Brayis have to introduce a new type of situation? The situation of a milva Niflug Venisna Bididah. The Brayis could have spoken about the case itself, and about the Kodin itself, and make the following distinction. The Medvar Mamurim, when must part of the Kodin being attacked, Shloi Kibbalah Rayas, Ava Kibbalah Rayas, Afagav Deloy Nishtar, Ava Kibbalah Rayas, since she's responsible, and by him now waiving this responsibility, she has benefit, so that Allah will be a Mekudeshes. Why does the Brayis have to introduce a new case of a Melva? So there's obviously a flaw in this Brayis. Tritz Hachi, therefore says Rav, the way to understand the Brayis like this. The milva, once we're amending the Brayis, we're going to say, the milva abishet nishtayim in the shabruta. Even if the shabruta of the milva is left, still the halacha is ena mekudeshes. And Rav Shimon Los is going to say, milva arayik bekodin. Milva is treated like a bekodin. And just like bekodin, a kedushin can take effect if some of it is remained. So too by a milva, if some of the money remains, then the kedushin can take effect. Now, says the Gemara, it seems that we have a Tana that does not concur with Rav. Because the way we just read the Gemara, Rav Shimon Elazar is treating a milva like a bekodin. And just like a bekodin, the Gemara says, a kedushin could take effect, so too should be the halacha by a milva, says the Gemara, which will be difficult in Rav, because now we have Rav Shimon Elazar disagreeing with Rav, says the Gemara, Amar Rava, there's a way of explaining that Rav Shimon ben Elazar's opinion is not contrary to Rav's. I found the yeshiva talmidim sitting in Rav's yeshiva, and they explained, "B'milva b'rishus balam l'chazara v'hu adin lo einzu k'mifki." The machlokes in this brisa refers to a situation where a borrower has not yet begun to spend the money; it's still by the malva, and also regarding the halacha, does the malva have a right to retract, and who is responsible for the milva money, for the loan money, when it's still in the rishus of the malva? The Masa of the Tanakama holds milva rishus kaima. Once he agreed to lend the money, it's considered as if it's still considered in the domain of the borrower. V'adin le'ainsim, and the same thing goes for einsim, that the loiver is responsible for his einsim. Or ma'asava, and therefore it's considered a situation of milva, and mekadesh b'milva, and mekadeshes. Or ma'asava, ever Reb Shimon Elazar holds, milva b'rishus balam kaimi. As soon as the malva decided to give the money to the loiva, it's considered as if the loiva has it, and he's also responsible. So now it becomes a situation of that it's still by the malva, and since it's still by the malva, it's considered a situation of mekavish b'milva and mekadeshes. V'mina lehu, and Rava continues to say, everybody agrees that as far as responsibility is concerned, it's already considered by the loiva. My tama, legar mishela. It's no different than if somebody lends somebody a borrowed item. Mashela hadba'ina. Even though when I borrow something from you, I'm going to return the item. Chai ba'itzim, I'm responsible if anything happens to it. Milva hakashkein, similar by milva, when I'm not even going to give back the same item, that the loiva is responsible as soon as he receives it. Alahocha, the question is, milva b'rishus balam l'chazar ikka b'nayu. Does the malva have a right to demand back to this item? According to the man, the that he has a right to demand it back, so then it's something tangible that he's leaving by the loiva, and that's why it's going to be a valid kedushin. According to the other man, the he doesn't have a right to demand it back, and therefore it's not a valid kedushin. Ask the Gemara, Elohadomer of Huna, Hashok Kad Mechaveroi, if somebody borrows a hammer from someone else, Bikaboy, If he uses it to chop wood, kana, it becomes his loy bikabai, loy kana. Loy mikitanoi amr l'shmaitza. Because from here it sees that it seems that he has to do a kinyan. Without the kinyan, it seems that this is only what Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, that a borrower only acquires the loaned money when he starts to spend it. And until then, the malva can require it back. Here too, it seems that only when I did a maisa kinyan of using it does it become the borrower's, not before. The Rishonim discuss the where and halacha do we find that using a hatchet, actually using the item, is considered the maisa kinyan. Isn't a kinyan usually with hagbah, with mashicha? So Rishonim answer that when I'm acquiring an item, that the actual item becomes mine. So there Chazal said that the kinyan is accomplished with mashicha, hagbah, mesira. Here, I'm only borrowing the item. So these type of kinyanim, which represent total ownership, are inappropriate ways of accomplishing the kinyan. And the only way that the kinyan can be accomplished is with actually using it, because that is the purpose of borrowing an item. Says the Gemara, loy. The two dinim don't go together. If the malva can request back what he lent, is only by milva, because the actual loan money is not given back. Regarding shayla, we just learned to give back the same item I borrowed. The rahakol, there halach is only bikabay in. If I start using it, does it become in the rishus of the loiva, of the borrower? Bikabay loikana doesn't become his yet. Says the Gemara, nemikatanoi. Again, the Gemara wants to suggest that this din, the Rav said, of a Makadish for Milva and a Makadashis, is actually the subject of a Machloikis Tanoim. Name Ketanoim. His Kachli B'Shtar Choyv. If a man says to a woman, become Makadish to me with a Shtar Choyv. Or Shayolai Milva B'Yad Acherim. Or somebody else owed him money. V'Hir Shalayim. And she said that she now has the power to collect that money. Remei Oimer Makadashis. V'Cham Oimerim Ein Makadashis. We have Machloikis Omei Chachamim. Ask the Gemara. What is the case of a shtar choyv? Ilay mishtar choyv da cheirim, where others owe him money, and now he's giving that money to her. So isn't that the next case? Hayna milva b'yad cheirim. So why does the Bryce have to mention both cases? Elalaf, it must be referring to a case, shchar choyv da. The first case of the Bryce is the money that she owes him. And yet, we see a machloikis tanoim, a mekadis from milva kamifugi, if it's a valid kedushin. Says the Gemara, Lo'ilim Shtachayv Dacherim. The case, both cases of the Braisa are referring money that is owed to the man that is giving her the right to receive. But the two cases of the Braisa, Hochav and Milva B'Shtar, Milva Al-Kav Kamifgi. One case is referring that he has a Milva B'Shtar where somebody owes him money and it's money that's documented in a loan document, and the other one it's an oral obligation. And the Gemara will explain what is the machloikis in each case. What is the machloikis if a person could give his wife an IOU, a written IOU, would that be a valid kedushin? But pluk to the Rebbe Rabbanan Kamilski. A machloikis that we have between Rebbe and Rabbanan elsewhere. The Tanya, Oisius Niktus Basira. If I have a shtar choyv, by just giving it over, is that a way of selling? We know there's a business of selling receivables. Will that be a valid way of selling that receivable? Rebbe holds that that's enough. Oisius Niknas B'Mesira. By giving over the document, we have a kinyan. Recham Aymerim. Ben Shekosav Leimasar. Whether he gives over Ben Shekosav Leimasar, Ben Shekosav Leimasar, so we have to have, besides that the IOU document be given over, we have to have another shtar indicating this kinyan with it. Mar isle de Rebbe. So Rebbe, Rameya follows Rebbe's opinion, and therefore he says that by the husband giving the wife the shtar choyv, we have a valid maisa kinyan, and that's why she becomes mukadashas. Or Mar lesle de Rebbe, just by giving over the shtar choyv. Vibayis Eima. Another way of explaining the case of where the loan was written in the document. What is the machloket between Rebbe and Mei and the Chachamim if there's a valid kedushin or not? The Kulam Alessad Rebbe. Everybody doesn't agree with Rebbe. Everybody agrees that by transferring the Shtar Chayv, it's a valid kinyan on the Shtar Chayv. V'achbed Rapapa Kamilfkin. The Machayk is about what Rapapa said. Don't Rapapa. Hay man the Zovin Shtar Al Chavre. If somebody sells a Shtar Chayv to someone else, Tzarech L'michtav Lay, Kanalaf V'kot Shibudei. In order for it to be valid, on that loan document, he has to write that I'm giving over to you all of the shibudim that this loan document brings along with it. Mar Islaid Rapapa, the Chacham agree with Rapapa, and if this wasn't included in the sale, it isn't really considered that the document was given over properly. The Shtar Chayv was given over properly. Omar, Rab Meir doesn't agree with Rapapa, and just giving over the Shtar Chayv is enough. Bibai Sayyim the Kulam Islaid Rapapa. Everybody agrees with Rapapa. Here the Machlokes is, V'ochbed Shmuel Kamifgi. They're arguing over what Shmuel said. Dom Shmuel. If I sell you an IOU, somebody owes me money, and I sell that IOU document to you, and now I go back and I am Michael, the person that owed me the money, is that considered valid or not? The Tanakama holds Michael, I have that right to do it, and not only do I have the right to do it, I feel Yerush Michael, even my Yerush has the right to do it. The Mar Islay the Shmuel. So the Rabbanan agree with Shmuel. Therefore, when a husband gives over to his wife a Shtar Chayv, he's not really giving over to her anything meaningful, because the husband always has the right to be Meichel that obligation. Well, Ma less Lady Shmuel, and the other man, Ramey, says that I don't have that right. Once I give away the Shtar Chayv, I can't be Meichel that Chayv, and therefore it's considered a valid Kenyan, I gave her something of substance, the Shtar Chayv. So the Rishonim all are very troubled. Rishonim and Achronim are very troubled. If I sell a loan document, how could Shmuel suggest that I, and even my Yerush, could still be Meichlet? So some Rishonim explain, the reason is, because the Halacha is, the Midaraisa, this is the opinion of the Rambam, Midaraisa, one does not have the ability to sell Shtar Chayv. So the entire din is only midrabanan, and therefore, since midraisa the sale is not considered a valid sale, I still have the right to be meicheled alone. It's interesting that the Machna Ephraim points out, based on this, that from here we see that even though this mechiras of the document of a shtar chayiv is only drabanan, it's still going to affect a kedushei daraisa. Tosfos Reinu Tam has a very different opinion. He says that every obligation that exists, if somebody owes me money, carries with it two parts. There's a shibud nechasim and a shibud haguf. Says Reinu Tam, a shibud nechasim could indeed be sold from one individual to another, but a shibud haguf cannot be sold. And that's the case here. That's why Shmuel says I could still be Michael, because I never have the ability to sell the Shibud HaGuf that's owed to me. And since I never have the ability to sell that Shibud HaGuf, I could always be Michael that Shibud HaGuf. It's interesting. The Ktsais, which is a variation of the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, says like this. If somebody owes me money, and now I sell that document to someone else, and then that individual goes to the person who owes me money and says, I'm collecting the money you owe that person. He could say, I don't know you. I know the person who lent me money, and you're not the person that lent me money. And that's why Shmuel says our relationship can never be totally broken. Everybody agrees to Shmuel's opinion that the original loiva, the original malva, could always be Meichel del Chayv. The question here is about the mentality, about the attitude of the woman. Woman relies, name Amish, she says, L'shavak l'didi u'mochle l'chirina. My husband will not, who used this to be mekadosh me, will not forgive the obligation and put me into limbo. She's concerned that maybe the husband will be able to will be meicheled alone under certain circumstances, and therefore she doesn't rely on the shtar chayiv to create a kedusha. We said, in explaining the braisa, that the second case of the braisa was the machlok between Rav Meir and the Chachamim was regarding a milvah peh. If that could create, why was the case there? But milvah peh b'may pligi. So the gemara b'derafuna merav, d'amar afuna merav, manali b'yachad tenei l'plani. Here we don't have a shtar, a document, an obligation written into a shtar. It's an oral obligation. And I say to someone, you owe me $100. That $100 you owe me, give to someone else. B'mamet shloshtam. If I do it with all three parties are there, the loch is kanyan. Masava, the chum hold that this was only said ki amarav hanimil b'pekadon avol milvaloi. So there is no effective way, according to the rabbanon, to transfer a milvah peh. Or masava, however, a meyah holds loishna milvah loishna b'pekadon. Both could be transferred through a mamach shloshtin kinyan, and that's what happens here, that the husband transfers the milvah peh with a mamach shloshtin. According to Ramey, it's considered a valid transfer, and that's why it's a valid kinyan. But it's not the milvah she owes in, it's another debt. And the chum hold that a milvah peh can never be transferred. It's interesting that I saw from the Sefer Shas and Tshuvas Dvar Yeshua that the Gemara is teaching us now about this new type of kinyan called mamet shloshtan, that all three parties have to be there. The malva and the loiva, and the person to whom the malva is transferring the loan. Says the Sefer Shas Tshuvas Dvar Yeshua, that nowadays that we have telephones, it could be that they don't all have to be physically present there. If they're all together on one conference call, it would also be considered a mamet shloshtan.